having lighting issues, so I get to see you today. That's awesome. Woohoo! Man, y'all are good looking. I'm sure you reciprocate that in your hearts. Stay in the shadows, okay. Okay, you can leave now. That's not nice. We're in this series, Go Green. And Go Green is about discovering Jesus Christ and going and being Jesus Christ. And Jesus, I mean, there's just so much to it, but there's really some essential pieces. And today we're going to unpack a piece that I am guessing most people in this room have struggled with. I mean, I some of you have struggled with the, and maybe even today, and it's okay, you've struggled with believing the validity of what we're going to say today, whether it's true. Some of us have struggled with what we have heard other people say about this subject that we're going to look at today. Some of us have struggled with what people have done and then blamed it on what we're going to look at today, the atrocities done and what we're going to look at today, and it's atrocious, some of it. How many people have ever tried, we're talking about the Bible, how many people have ever tried to read the Bible, got stuck at some point or something you didn't understand, something that pushed back kind of hard on you? Anybody besides me? There's just pieces that are just like, what are they talking about? For Christians, this is just for Christians. How many people have read a verse and didn't do what it said? I've done that. There's a lot of liars in here today, man. You know what I mean? Right on. We've done that. Several years after my grandfather died, my grandmother gave me a Bible. And the inscription said this: in remembrance of Poppy, who loved you so much. Now, my grandfather had 20 grandkids. He had 5 kids. He had multiple great-grandkids. I was the pick of the litter for whatever reason. I think my dad, I know my relatives are independent Baptists, so they'll never listen to the podcast. My dad was the pick of the litter, and so that made me his heir apparent, and my Poppy loved me, and he was like my dad. My dad worked all the time. I'm talking about a deep affection for a man that I lost very young. But a better remembrance would probably have been an effective guide to cussing or maybe Hunting and Fishing magazine rather than a Bible, because a Bible really didn't represent who he was. But my grandmother was a Christian, God bless her. My sister, my baby sister at that time, tore out the first 3 pages out of this new Bible and colored on them, and I still give her a hard time about that. She's a Christ follower now, like, you took away God's word from me and just mess with her a little bit. But anyway, she tears out the pages. I begin to read. I drop in on these stories. Somewhere between a dude murdering his brother and a homosexual mob wanting to rape 2 angels. That's where I begin reading the Bible. Needless to say, I could not relate, you know what I mean? And shut this thing down. But fast forward a few years later, when I looked at some of what we're going to look at today, it gave me a whole new perspective on this thing called the Bible. In fact, it literally changed my life. And so many times we worship this book rather than the one who wrote the book. Let me get in light. Rather than the one who wrote the book, and we miss out. But in doing that, we miss a lot. And so what we're going to look at today, I think, is going to erase a lot of fears for people. I think it's going to be a game changer for you. And one of the things that I begin to see as I begin to apply it, that it became the guidebook of my life. And there is no way I would be standing here today speaking to you. There is no way I would be married to the woman that I'm married to. There's no way, and then that would take away my kids. I mean, you take away this, I have none of that. And I know that. My parents would affirm that. Here's my mom's word about me minus this: he would have been in the penitentiary. That's my mom. You know, that's your mother. That's kind of tough, right? We're going to drop in on Jesus' ministry right before he died and rose again, and we're going to see something that I think will take the fear. If it doesn't take the fear away, it's at least going to give you a new perspective on the Bible and maybe taking a peek at it like you've never done before. Let's look at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And we're going to look in 2 books. It's the same story, kind of like one guy gives a little more information than the other guy, so we're going to look at what he has to say too. But it's the same story. Luke chapter 9, verse 27. Verse 27. "And but I tell you the truth, there are some standing here who shall not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." Now, kingdom of God is very complicated, but just so when you hear that term, you've got a reference, like there's a movie, Kingdom for God, and all that. Kingdom of God means this: that you believe on Jesus Christ in a moment of time, that, hey, there's just the lights come on, you believe Jesus died, believe he rose again, believe it was for you, and you say, Jesus, I call on you, I ask you to be my Savior. You ask him to be your God, however you want to term it. From that moment on, you begin to go through life, and if you follow Jesus Christ, you're living in the kingdom of God until one day you stand face to face with him. So it's this belief in a moment and this lifetime of following him until you see him face to face. They didn't understand that. We do now because we have the rest of the Bible that they didn't have. Then verse 28, now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Pete, James, and John and went up into a mountain to pray. I mean, this has got to be awesome. They're going to get to pray with Jesus. How cool is that? And as he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. We're not talking about jazzy hands Jesus. What we're talking about, not sequence Jesus, Jesus became otherworldly. We got to see a glimpse of what he looks like out of this dimension in the heavenly. So just for a moment. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which was he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. What a scene, man. You see this guy that you've been following around, eating fish sandwiches with, and suddenly he is transfigured. He becomes this heavenly reality of himself. And then all at once there's these two Old Testament guys that you have heard about your whole life and you recognize them. But Pete and those who were with him were heavy with sleep. Sleep of the will, right? But when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Then it happened as they were parting that Pete, I mean, he's fired up, man. This is amazing. Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles. That's why I chose this. Tabernacle is an Old Testament reference. And just know this, only God can have tabernacle. God tabernacle, God tabernacle. Jamie tabernacle, not, you know, God tabernacle, God tabernacle. Think about that. That God is, you know, it's about him. Let's build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. I mean, right there he's showing Jesus' lordship. You're the Son of God. Not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered in the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. God the Father, it was so stupid what he said. God the Father, now the Bible, Jesus is really cool. God the Father's very comforting. He knew that Pete had messed up. Man, if I was saying, like, hey, dummy, just shut up for a moment. Check out what my son has to say. Hear him. Actually, for me, in this series, Go Green, this sermon, this message today was birthed from hear him. Hear what Jesus has to say. When the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone, but they kept quiet and told no one in those days any of the things that they had seen. Now, let's rewind back to Mark. Check out Mark chapter 9 with me. My Bible's all jacked up. Mark chapter 9. Let's look at verse whatever. Where are we at? Play it, Chris. We got verse 20. We got verse 8, right. Suddenly, when they had looked around, they saw no one anymore. We picked up right where we left off, but only Jesus with themselves. Now, as they came down from the mountain, he commanded them that they should tell no one of the things they had seen, until the Son of Man, that's Jesus, had risen from the dead. So they kept this word to themselves questioning, what does rising from the dead mean? And they asked him, saying, what are the scribes, you know, they're afraid to ask that. So they say, what do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? Then he answered and told them, indeed, Elijah is coming first and restores all things. And how it is written concerning the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be treated with contempt. Like, oh gosh, let's get away from that. But I say unto you that Elijah has come, and they did to him whatever they wished, as it is written of him. So, Jay, what does this have to do with me reading the Bible? Well, what you have in this message is what the Bible does in your life. The Pete and James and John had the dream come true. They were walking with Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be easy to live for God? You would think if Jesus was with you all the time, it would be pretty easy, huh? If you could just say, hey, Jesus, what do you mean by that? And have him teach you like at supper or whatever. But what God shows in this story is what he uses the Bible to do. I mean, he uses the Bible to reveal the kingdom. He uses the Bible to reveal his real godship, his deity. He uses the Bible to show that he had died and was buried and rose again. I mean, in this story, he uses and he reflects that the Bible says, be alert, don't go to sleep at the wheel. Pay attention to what God is doing. Don't become so self-absorbed. Don't get lost in your own feelings so much and your own narcissism that you miss the big picture of what I'm doing. Because what I'm doing, God says, is all about the kingdom. All God wants to do is bring people into relationship with himself, beginning in a moment and continuing until they see him face to face. Well, I thought God was about all of this and buildings and crosses and cash. All of that may be part of it, but God is about people discovering him in their lives and leading a life up to the time that they see him after death face to face. God is about kingdom living. And he shows them, we see in this that God reveals stuff to them they don't understand. He talked about rising again. They didn't know what that meant. They had no clue. We look back and we say, how did he do that? They didn't even know where to begin with that. This whole message that Jesus is revealing to them is that it's based on him. Jesus is called the Word in the book of John. Jesus is the Bible alive. We say, how do you live the Bible? What does the Bible look like when you really apply it, when you really live it? It looks like Jesus Christ. What does the Bible look like when I begin to apply it in my life? What things will take place? Well, all you've got to do is look at the ministry of Jesus Christ, and those are the things that will become alive in you. Moments of faith and moments of influencing people's lives, moments of making a difference. You see, the whole message is about, the whole Bible is about us being connected to God himself. And all they had was the Old Testament. They didn't have what we have now. Jesus used some of these guys to finish writing the Bible and put his stamp of approval on it. See, so many times what Christians do is they use the Bible to prove Jesus, and that's okay, but actually Jesus proves the Bible. Because the moment that he died and rose again, this book had validity like it never had before. It's always been a living book. It's always been. But the moment that he died and rose again, and from Jesus himself saying, I believe this book, what they had at that time, this book, I believe this book, I validate this book, I live this book, and God says, hear him. That's exactly what he wants you to do in the Bible. As you and I begin to read the Bible, you say, Jay, I hate reading. Hey, man, we got you covered. MP3 downloaded in iTunes. We got YouVersion. If you're old school and you just haven't gone to CD, there's cassette. I mean, some of you guys are really frugal. There probably is Bible on 8-track. I don't know, you know, probably something like that. Maybe Clint Eastwood read it or something. I don't know. It's available. It's not about reading. It's about Bible ingestion. And the reason we do it is because the risen Christ believed this book. The risen Christ endorsed this book, and because the risen Christ is behind it, we can get behind it too. Because the risen Christ practiced it, we can practice it too. In fact, he made it available to us when we say, Jesus, save us, and then he gave us the Holy Spirit to be able to live it. Because I don't know, when I read the Bible, I saw a lot of things in there that I knew would be difficult for me to do. There was a lot of things that I discovered that I didn't know how in God's name I was going to do it. But what I began to see was the moment that I believed on Jesus Christ, that moment of faith, like many of you will today, like many of you have, then God put his Spirit in me just like he does you or he will you and gives you the ability to understand. I learned this from a little comic book track. It said, after you accept Jesus, I read the back of it. It said, pray and ask God to help you understand the Bible. I go, okay. I didn't know any better. I just put my faith that they knew what they were talking about. And I began, this kid that didn't like church, that didn't like the Bible, that didn't want anything to do with God, the Bible began to come alive with me. And I read the Bible to the point that I got saved between hearing messages like we give here and reading the Bible. I invited Jesus Christ into my life. And the whole game changed for me. And what I began to discover was God had a plan for my life because it's in the Bible. But sometimes we just need a place to begin. Where do you begin with a book that was written over 1,500 years by 40 different authors? It didn't come in this form till about the 2nd to 5th century when they had this criteria for what they called the canon that they put this thing together. But then you've got, you know, God, how do we know this is true? Well, God said in Psalms 12 that he would preserve this thing forever, that war and civilizations and all of this kind of stuff would never erase his word. Okay, so we think, okay, God gave me this eternal book. He bases it. Okay, I struggle with that. I struggle with some of it in there. but the risen one believes it. The one who died and rose again. I want to be with that guy. Like, I don't care about a religious leader that says a bunch of crap and then, you know, gets off and it fills his coffer and everybody is chanting. I don't care about that guy. I don't care about what everybody else is flowing and swaying with. I want to know who's at the helm. Who's leading the charge? Because I'm not going to waste my time, and I'm not going to waste my life, and I'm not going to waste my family's life. And I'd say that many of you are like me. Well, the Bible is based on resurrected Jesus. The Bible is based on the one who died and rose again. Now, I want to get on that guy's team. And he said, there's some things in here I want to reveal. And I, like you, say, where do I begin? And I want to give you a question today that I pray just begins to take the fear out of it and begins to make you want to read the Bible, even if you're like, I don't know if I make you want to. We used old school. This is like kind of old school. This is NKJV. But I wanted you to, I really used this version because of the glistening Jesus and the tabernacles, because this kind of captures it better. There's a lot of versions. We give away a version at the door for everybody that's accepted Christ. It's much easier to understand. But let me give you a question to get you started. You ready? What does God know that I need to know? And you're saying, Jay, God, you're telling me the Bible's filled with dependability about God. It says the Holy Spirit's going to lead me. You say, Jay, you're telling me that I could take these inclinations just like Pete had. Pete had a spiritual moment. He had this spiritual experience. He didn't know what to do with it. And God settled that for him. Well, what if Jesus isn't going to appear in person and settle for us? The Bible says, God said, listen, I've given you this book that you could take your inclinations, your reactions, your dreams, your choices, your experience, and put them to the litmus test of the Bible. I've written this book that's true. So, you know, what if we learn something that is against the Bible? Well, God said, I've left this book of truth so when it comes at you, you can know the truth and the truth can set you free. So you can have a foundation to stand on. And that, remember who the foundation's on? This is not based on religion or a culture. This is based on the one who rose from the dead. This is based on resurrected Jesus. That's who we're putting our faith in. But we begin with this question, what does God know that I need to know? What does God know that I need to know? I mean, he gives instruction in this book just to like the Southeast Asians say, let me salt your rice, let me whet your appetite, as we would say. The one he talks about in the book, eternal life, how to live forever. That may not mean much to you if you're 25, but if you're 40 and 50 and you've got some kids, you maybe are thinking about that. It talks about bringing up kids. It talks about marriage and remarriage. It talks about career advancement. It gives basics in science. It talks about happiness, joy. It talks about what to do with temptation, finding your purpose, getting through a loss, living with a win. It talks about depression, meaning, hope, forgiveness, regret. It talks about drinking, addiction, sex. It talks about just about anything that you can believe under the sun. And God has given us thoughts in principle or in word about all of those things. And where we begin is this. God, what do you know that I need to know? And I could tell you just out of the gate, because there's so much going to transpire in your life when you begin to listen or begin to read this thing, but you're going to begin to see that God reveals discovery, what we need to know to believe. There's some of you are like, listen, I'm not even to the point of believing on Jesus Christ. God from the Bible will begin to reveal what you need to know to believe on Jesus Christ. God will reveal what you need to take the next step of faith with. He'll do what he did with Pete. I mean, Pete had assumed and translated this thing wrong. He'll retranslate it. Many of us struggle with God because of a translation we've made of him when we were this high or this high. We were in college and we got asked a scary question by a professor that we couldn't answer and our pastor couldn't answer. And we've been on the run ever since from God. And God says, listen, I want you to bring those to me. I want you to bring your intellect. I don't want you to check your intellect at the door. I don't want you to check anything. I don't want you to be afraid of anything. I want you to bring that to me. What have you translated? Many of you, it's been translated in your life that you're worthless. It was translated to you by someone else's actions that you need to live in fear, that you have no value. And God says, listen, if you'll check this out, I can retranslate that. Many of you think that our marriage is too far gone, and that we are the anti-church guy, or that stuff's not for me, and God would beg to differ and say, listen, man, I want to retranslate that in your life. I don't care where you're coming from. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what someone has put on you. I want you to discover my forgiveness and my love and my goodness and my truth. I'm going to tell you this straight out of the gate. Jesus was a straight shooter. I want you to tell you right out of the gate, God reveals action. Knowledge is not the end of Bible revelation. Faith and action is. I almost put this question as, what does God know that he wants me to do? But I felt like we have so many people that are just checking Jesus Christ out that we may have missed a pre-step. But I want you to know this, that when God reveals the Bible, and sometimes he's going to put things in your life from the Bible, you don't understand it. They didn't understand the resurrection. You're going to hear stuff many times before the lights click on and the Spirit helps you understand it. I want you to know that that's okay. I want you to know that you're not the Cinderella of faith or some, you know, you can't get it. Absolutely, there's things that God reveals that's just above your pay grade until he raises your life up, and I want you to know that that's okay. But everything that God reveals, every relation is taking action. What do I do with what God knows now that I know is kind of the gist. So many of us sit by, and we get this, and Christians are notorious for this, we've all done it, and we're like, I got this big knowledge base sitting here. Someone knocks on our door, we've got all the answers. We know what to say. We know the verses to give. But we never let those verses penetrate our own heart. That's why you can have a person that's been in church 60 years, and when the pressure comes on their life, they act like somebody that's never trusted Jesus Christ. Because having your arm around truth, having your arm around the Bible, having your name on the Bible, means nothing if you don't apply it. Knowledge, whenever God reveals something, if you're going to get anything from God, you've got to take action on it. And many of you are waiting for God to rain down the heavens and pour out something on your life or reveal something. And he's waiting on you to take a step that he revealed 10 steps ago that you refused to take. And so he's holding out on you. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. God's revealed something. If you take that step, you're taking a step towards him, towards obedience, and God rushes to give you the next step. But many of us think that faith is something that, you know, that just is built by how much you learn. God wants you to take this book and begin to apply it and apply it effectively. And so many of us, that's our fear. But I want you to know you're going to have information you don't know what to do with, and God's going to bring someone, something, a message, a song, some person to help you understand that and move you down the line. I mean, at LifePoint, we give these basic traction classes in discipleship we offer once a month. They're not going to make you spiritual. But if you begin to apply what's in that, and the material in there, very simple stuff, it's all over the wall out there in the lobby, God begins to grow you. God begins to grow kingdom life in you. God begins to grow your faith, and ultimately, that's what God is after with this Bible, is for you to trust him more. Not for you to know more, not for you to be able to argue better, not so you feel comfortable about your knowledge base. God reveals everything in this Bible so you'll look at him and say, God, I trust you more. I take a step because this is pushing back on everything I believe. This is pushing back on my checkbook. This is pushing back on my time schedule. But you say to do it, and so I'm going to take a step of faith, and I'm going to do it because you say to do it and because you reveal things for me to take action on. So I want you to know that God reveals action in the Bible, not just knowledge. And in Bible-based America, Kentucky, Dallas says it's the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. I beg to differ. I think Louisville is. Per capita, more churches. We've got 4 seminaries here. And even people that are Christ followers, they don't invite their friends to hear about Jesus Christ because they feel like if they want it, they'll come. At LifePoint, we flip that on its ear. We say, bring your friends. And let's check out Jesus Christ together. And some of us, we've heard this stuff our whole lives. We've seen churches with drums and a pastor that doesn't wear a tie. That stuff doesn't impress us. That stuff will never change your life. What changes a life is when you discover something and God reveals an action and you take action on that and quit pushing back on, I used to do it, I thought I did it, or whatever, and you take action on it right then. And I want you to know God's gonna reveal development. He's going to develop your life. Nobody is spiritual all at once. Nobody gets fired up and accepts Christ and in 3 years has it all together. This is a lifetime of development. When I first got saved, I wasn't married, so I thought, if I could just you know, live for Christ and find the right woman where I was never tempted again. Yeah, that didn't work. I still needed the Bible, even with a beautiful wife. If I could just get to this stage in my life, I mean, I went to Bible college, and I got this Bible base, and then you learn all these things. And here's what I've discovered. The more I know, the less I know. The more I think I've got a grasp on it, God flexes up on me again, so I'll take action on something that doesn't make sense to me, so I'll trust him at a greater level, and he can use my life in a new way. It may not even be a greater level, but it'll be a new way, and it'll be his will. And that is very tough to swallow. It's easy now to look back and say, gosh, man, my struggle was tithing, or my struggle was lust. And then to look at my life, it's not that those things aren't still a struggle sometimes, but to look and say, when God says, listen, I want to develop you further, Jamie Johnson, and I'm going to take away, or I'm going to add to this. I'm going to put pressure in your life that makes you turn to me. I'm going to take something from you that you depend on, so you will quit depending on that and depend on me. And that's where the rubber hits the road of faith. And we think that it's going to be this one thing, time we get something and it's finished. And the word that you need to get used to is change if you're going to follow Jesus Christ. And it's not just about pushing on everything that you love and like. There's a ton of stuff God's placed in your heart that will never change. Your personality's not going to change. Most of you, your passions aren't going to change. If you're an activist, you're not going to become an aesthetic. If you love being on the front lines and serving, you're not going to become a monk. That's not the way God wired you. But change is inevitable when you follow the resurrected Jesus Christ. What's the staple? What's the big deal, Jay? What's the reward for that? Is that you get to know Jesus Christ. You surrender your life to him, and he begins to use your life. You begin to know the thrill of obeying God, the peace that brings, because there's a spot that until you get Jesus Christ, it's just missing and your life is empty. It's a God spot. Sex can't fill it. Promotion can't fill it. Your dream job can't fill it. I mean, none of it can. Only Jesus can fill it. The moment you believe on him, your spirit's made alive. You were dead in trespasses and sin. God forgives your sin and makes you alive and begins to help you do the things that develop you. And the thrill is watching the God that rose from the dead begin to reveal your purpose, begin to bring peace in your life, begin to let you know him. I'm talking about creator God. I'm talking about resurrected Jesus. Begin to know him in a new way. And having been on both sides of the spectrum, there's nothing that compares. It is an addiction greater than heroin. It is an addiction greater than anything you can imagine. It's a need greater than sex. And if many of you have been in that spot where you've been close to God and you've walked and you know what I'm talking about. And many of you are right there. You've accepted Christ. And many of you are going to accept Christ today. See, God doesn't package a perfect life. But I want you to know God, in all the change, God doesn't package a miserable life either. The joy is knowing him. The joy is obeying him. We've made Christianity a joke. We've made faith absolutely ridiculous. When all it is you and I trusting Jesus Christ, the one behind this book, the one this book's about, and begin to follow him. When it pushes back on our will, we may buck back a little bit. We say, Jesus, I'm going to do your will. And it pushes on an area of our life. We say, God, I don't want to do that sexually. I'm going to live my own life. I'm going to do serial monogamy. I'm not going to get married. I'm going to bang who I want. I'm going to do what I want. And God says, listen, you can do that. But you're going to be miserable. Because I've created intimacy in the bonds of marriage. We can push back in a number of ways. God, you just want my money. God says, I don't need your money. I want your heart. When you give to Christ, that's not about cash. It's about faith. It's about God having you, not you having money. And Jesus says, listen, when I hung out with my disciples, I left you a great example. There's a ton of junk in there. There's a ton of theology in there, but here's one question that reflects what I want you to know about the Bible and what I want you to do with it. What does God know? What does my Father know? Jesus say, what do I know that you need to know? Just ask it one more time. What does God know that I need to know? You ask yourself that. What does God know that I need to know? Not what your neighbor needs to know. Not what your husband needs to know. You're like, man, what does God know my husband needs? No. Not your wife, not your kids. What does God know that you need to know? And whatever that knowledge is, that discovery is, he's revealing it to you. He wants you to take action on. Let's pray together.